is Sangeetha Swami, and you're listening to The Sound Effect, a weekly program unlocking the mysteries of music and sound and exploring their effects on our lives. Today we'll hear from Dr. Amy Clements Cortez, a music therapist who helps patients find a sense of completion at the end of their life through musical autobiography. Find out how she helped one couple turn their love letters into song. Hear these stories and more coming up next on The Sound Effect. I'm Sangeetha, and you're listening to The Sound Effect. Joining me today by phone will be Dr. Amy Clements Cortez from Ontario, Canada, who is Assistant Professor of Music Therapy at the University of Windsor and current President of the Canadian Association of Music Therapy. As a singer, she's worked as a music therapist in a wide variety of settings, including geriatric, adult psychiatric settings, as well as with children, adults, adolescents with learning disabilities and developmental delays, cognitive impairment, and Parkinson's disease. Dr. Clements Cortez is currently senior music therapist and practice advisor at Baycrest Center in Toronto, Canada, a hospital where she specializes in end-of-life and palliative care. She's presented her work at conferences around the world and has published in the Canadian Journal of Music Therapy, Canadian Music Educators Journal, and the American Journal of Hospice and Palliative Medicine. Amy, are you with us on the line?
I am. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome to The Sound Effect.
My pleasure to be with you today.
It's really great to have you all the way from Canada.
It's always good to touch base with our friends to the south.
Yes, and I'm guessing you don't have a heat wave going on right now.
Well, actually, we did, but I have to admit that I really love the heat. I suffer the winter here in Canada, so I didn't mind it.
So, Amy, I'm really excited to have you on, especially because of the vastness of your experience. And you have such an extensive background as a clinician, researcher, and educator. You've been practicing, singing, and teaching for many years. So one thing I'm curious about is, how did you first become interested in and decide to become a music therapist?
Well, it actually began in high school. I was really torn as to what I wanted to do for a career. I had I'd been dancing since I was 5 or 6, and loved to sing and was involved in all the plays and performing arts. So I was torn between a career as a performer or a music teacher for a little while. And then I decided to do a co-op placement, and I was very fortunate that I got to explore several avenues. So I went with a music therapist, and worked at a nursing home with her one day. I taught music one day, and I also went to a nursing home where I did kind of recreation therapy. And instantly, when I worked with a music therapist and worked in that nursing home doing hymn singing, I knew that that was a career for me. I saw how music impacted the lives of the people that were in the nursing homes, and I wanted a career where I could help others. And it was just the perfect fit because I could use what I loved, music, to help people. And so instantly I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I began volunteering and applied to the music therapy program where I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Windsor, where I currently now teach.
Ah. So this was in high school that you were trying out these different areas of music?
Yes. Yeah, and music therapy, I mean, in general, is a fairly young profession.
Yes.
In Canada, our Canadian Association was formed in 1974. So when I was in high school, I guess there weren't very many music therapists in the area. And I hadn't, the only reason why I had heard about music therapy was from another young lady who was singing in a choir with me at the time. And she told me about music therapy because she was in the program at Wilfrid Laurier University in Ontario. And I'm so fortunate that she did, because just the perfect career choice for me.
So it was a calling as soon as you experienced it and witnessed it.
I think it was, you know, because I also toyed, you know, with being a social worker, a helper of some kind. And so this was a calling. It was the perfect way to blend my skills and my desire to help others.
With your extensive background, you've worked with a wide spectrum of diagnoses and populations, but your specialty, it sounds like, is palliative care and end-of-life care. Can you tell us a little bit about your work in this area? You know, what's it like? What are the needs of these people? And how have you addressed those needs yourself through music therapy?
Sure. So I've worked in end-of-life care now for around 12 years. And I would say there my work is mainly centered around providing individual sessions at the bedside, because many of the patients that I worked with, of course, were not able to get out of bed at that point. But I also offered group music therapy sessions for these clients, and they really ranged quite vastly in age. I would say, I guess at Baycrest, we do primarily work with clients who are considered older adults, but we did have clients as young as, you know, in their 40s in the palliative care unit. I would say the predominant amount of work that I do in palliative care is to palliate the symptoms that are common to end-of-life care, so helping patients with things like pain, anxiety, and depression.
At the end of
their
life.
But I also am fortunate to work more in depth with clients who have that ability and have the energy and desire at end-of-life. So, for example, helping them to express emotions or feelings that maybe they want to verbally say or state, but it's challenging, and through music it becomes perhaps less difficult to express them. So I've been fortunate to do that. Just thinking about the research that's been done music therapy-wise in palliative care, it's focused on a lot of key issues, things like helping people with pain management, physical comfort, improving mood, assisting relaxation. Also another big area, facilitating reminiscence, helping people with existential or spiritual questions at the end of life. I'm fortunate that I guess my philosophy of music therapy is community-based and also eclectic. So I draw from many different models in my work, and so I use a wide variety of different music therapy techniques in my end-of-life care. So things like lyric analysis, where I might present the client with a song that has specific lyrics that might call to that person, and then discussing them. Songwriting, for example. Another area that I really enjoy working is music and relaxation and music and imagery. So helping people to find some peace and some stress relief at end of life.
And you have a CD that we'll talk about a little bit later around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's a passionate area for me. I notice that the clients really benefit from that. And, you know, when they're in pain at end of life and having numerous challenges, sleeping or finding repose, that, you know, if I can provide them with a half an hour of time where they're escaping from that pain, or they're, you know, they're not thinking about it and their attention is focused on the imagery, you know, I think that really is a great benefit to them.
So it's really extensive, the list of needs. that people have at the end of their life and the ways that music can be a powerful nonverbal and verbal language to work through those. So you talked about this reminiscing and that some of the patients that you work with or clients that you work with do have the ability to consciously discuss and consciously work on maybe areas that they're not so satisfied in their life or things that they need. So you've conducted several research studies as well on this topic of palliative care. And one of them included helping patients with what you call relationship completion at the end of their lives. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How would you define relationship completion?
Sure. Certainly, before I delved into this area, I hadn't really ever thought about relationship completion and what that embodied. So I guess essentially, relationships, of any kind can come to an end, and it doesn't mean that they've actually been completed. And there was a doctor that I read about that inspired my work, Dr. Ira Biak, who talked about the fact that relationships are complete when we feel whole and we feel at peace. And essentially he states that there are five sentiments that permit relationships to reach completion once they are expressed. So these are, I love you, thank you, forgive me, I forgive you, and goodbye.
Uh-huh.
And so these are sentiments that can be expressed to complete various types of relationships. So looking at the relationship with ourselves, right, our intrapersonal relationships with those around us, the interpersonal ones, and also relationships that are transpersonal. So perhaps with a spiritual identity, a spiritual connection, or a connection to the earth. And certainly at the end of life, people, they often express this intense gratitude about their life and love for the people that they have known. And so they want to celebrate that with others. And as people get closer to their anticipated deaths, they may also have regrets. And people want to maybe work through some of that and seek forgiveness, and perhaps forgive themselves as well. And certainly, I worked with one client in particular who it was so powerful just expressing the sentiment of, I forgive you. It brought such reconciliation to him and such peace at the end of life. So I guess, if you're defining relationship completion, it can take place with yourself, with others, could be with friends, it could be with deceased persons. Essentially, it's any kind of relationship that needs closure, right? So just because I break up with someone doesn't mean that there's closure in a relationship. And so at the end of life, saying that goodbye and saying I love you, even when it's implied and people know, is so very important. And I found that through music, people were able to express these sentiments and really have a sense of relationship completion.
So resolving some of those pieces in their lives, periods in their lives, or relationships in their lives that felt incomplete, or It's a wide spectrum. And as you're talking, I'm just sort of imagining how powerful this can be. I mean, I've heard some of the stories of your work, which we want to get to soon, but I'm just thinking about how important that work is, because when the physical body is failing and not going to go on, you're helping people to leave with more of a sense of peace around this, because often those are the things that can keep people agitated emotionally and spiritually, it sounds like. The regrets
I think what inspired me to kind of go down this road in specializing in this area, when I began working in palliative care, the interdisciplinary team was quite excited. Music therapy was new to them. And so one of the main issues in palliative care is pain management. And so I did a study that looked at comparing live music and taped music to see if that, you know, was helpful in terms of helping clients feel any, you know, reduced pain and enhancing their physical comfort.
So you looked at the difference between playing live music for somebody at the bedside and playing recorded music for them at the bedside.
That's right. Yeah. And it was actually recorded music of me or you got me live. And so that was my first stab at a big research study, and it spanned over 2 years and produced significant results. I mean, live music was very effective at reducing pain perception and enhancing physical comfort, more so than the tape, like the recorded music, mm-hmm. but both were effective. But I guess from that study, even though that was exciting for the hospital, to me, I already knew that. I already knew music helped people with pain, and I wanted to help them with things that they weren't being helped with. So I would say that our interdisciplinary team was doing a phenomenal job, really, at controlling some of the symptoms of pain. But it was the psychological issues that didn't seem to be addressed as much. Uh-huh. And that's what clients needed help with. And that's when I started to look more at helping clients express emotions through music, grieve their losses. And that's kind of what led me to relationship completion. I guess clients, you know, they were able to express some of these feelings that they had regrets or that they loved someone that they had never told or that they missed someone that had passed away and wished that they had said certain things to that person. And so I helped them to express these emotions, but then what was I going to do with them? And that's what led me to relationship completion. So I wanted to help them kind of work through to the end, right? So that they would find more of a sense of peace at the end of life.
So let's hear about some of the work that you've done and some of the stories. In an article you wrote about your work with a child Holocaust survivor, is it Manya?
Manya, yes.
Manya. You wrote that, quote, in many ways she did not experience a childhood. She did not remember playing with other children or having time to engage in typical childhood activities, such as coloring, skipping, or playing games. And mm-hmm. then you talk at length in the article about how you begin to literally play or improvise music with her.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What was it like for her to play music, play anything, play in general for the first time in her life?
Mm. You know, I had such a wonderful time working with this client. I remember when I took her to our music therapy room at the hospital for the first time, and it was like taking a child to a candy store, you know, or a toy store. She was just so amazed at the instruments, and she wanted to try everything out. And so she tried out some of the drums, and she just wanted to make noise, as much noise as she could. She wanted to play louder and louder, and that's exactly what she told me. And it was so freeing for her because she had never been allowed to just play, have fun.
And she was 73, is that right?
She was at 72, I think, when I worked with her. She was a widow at the time, and she had one son who was married, not yet a grandmother. And she was a child survivor of the Holocaust. So she was hidden during the war. Her mother and her father put her in the care of a Catholic family during the war. So she was raised as a Catholic, but of course she was Jewish. And so really a lot of confusing times for her in her teen years, you know, not really feeling a strong connection to either faith or to the culture.
She,
you know, moved so many times, and she really, in our sessions, you know, we explored, some of her feelings towards her mother and also towards the mother that raised her during the war. And she wanted to express gratitude to these two women for all they had done. That was very important to her at the end of life. And so we wrote songs to honor them. And I guess she felt that she had never told them how much she loved them both. And so that was very important for her. When I began working with her, she was very realistic about her diagnosis. She wasn't scared to die, felt she had lived a long life. So it was really kind of looking back and helping her explore her childhood, something she hadn't done, saying the key sentiments to those important women in her life, asking them for forgiveness as well, and expressing her love. And also she wrote a song to express her love for her son at the time.
Oh.
I guess one of the fun things that we did also was create a musical autobiography. So Manya was very drawn to, she was drawn to creative arts in general. And so she had written poetry as well, and she had never shared it with anyone. Poems about her experiences in the war and growing up. And so what we chose to do was kind of look back at various periods in her life and to find songs that would represent those particular time periods. And then we recorded all of those songs and gave it to her son. And we also had a session with her son where it was kind of explained to him, why she chose the various songs, etc. Certainly, I guess, in addition to this improvisation where she was able to play song choice and lyric analysis that we did in our sessions allowed her to identify feelings, memories and sentiments from the various parts of her life. Mm-hmm. And so we sang a lot of those songs in our sessions together. I'm just taking a quote from Manya here. Essentially, when I worked with her, I recorded all of our music therapy sessions, and then I transcribed all of them because she was part of a research study. So what's beautiful about that is I have direct quotes from her, about all the different things that we did. And directly she said, "I have always wanted to write my memoirs, but this sounds like much more fun talking about the musical autobiography."
Uh-huh.
She said, "I think in some ways that I have to try to forgive myself for the way that I acted when my mother and my stepmother, I was only a child, but I was confused and scared. I know they didn't blame me, but I have held on to those guilty feelings for a long time now." She said, "I have very uneasy feelings about my childhood. I don't know what other word could describe them, just uneasy." And she said, "When I think about that time that I was separated and then reunited with my mother, I feel nauseous and queasy. I want to feel better about that time in my life." And so it was really important for her to feel that, to express that so that she could feel better and at peace at the end of her life.
Wow, so the musical autobiography is essentially a way to write a memoir through music, through recorded music.
Yeah, I'd never really thought about it that way, but it is. It's like it's documenting various parts of your life through a song that holds some of the key sentiments. And I guess the clip that you will be playing for us on my own is not an original song. It's a song that was already written, but the words spoke very much to Manya, because when she first emigrated to Canada, she said that, she could never truly present herself as who she was. She felt that she was an actress, and she felt that way, I think, because of having to be an actress as a child, in the war. And so she felt that she couldn't ever tell people that she was a child survivor of the Holocaust. And so she felt that she was an actress. She pretended to be someone else. And so she felt very much alone and isolated. And that's why the words of this song really spoke to her and really represented that time period in her life, when she was around 20.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine how isolating that would feel.
Mm-hmm. To come to a new country where you don't know anyone and to really feel that you can't truly present to anyone, You know, you can't really be who you are because you feel you may be persecuted or somehow, you know, that there will be prejudice against you. So that was really, I can't even imagine what that would be like. Yeah.
Let's listen to a little bit of this song. So you recorded this song for Manya.
Yes, she didn't want to be recorded for the CD for her son, so I did record that song for her. I also was fortunate and blessed to sing at her memorial service. Just, you know, because I had worked with the family, it was really important for her that I sing for her memorial service. She gave me the great honor of choosing the song that I thought would best take her to her next place of being.
So I felt this
very honored them. And I do, I mean, I feel so honored to work with all my clients. And I think I'm the person that I am today because they've all taught me so many life lessons. I feel very blessed.
So this particular song, I just wanted to go back a minute. Out Here on My Own, as I was listening to those lyrics, I could really hear what you were talking about, immigrating to a new country as a teenager and having the history that she had with the Holocaust. And there was one line in particular that I was thinking of. You sang something about drying the tears that I was never able to show. And It seemed really relevant to that period of time in her life. So you the song gave you a way to talk about this period in her life, to express it, to share it when she kind of never really did, it sounds like.
Yes. So I guess that's one of our techniques as music therapists, that we can do this song and lyric analysis. So actually looking at the lyrics and bridging conversation and helping clients express emotions. This was a song that Manya didn't actually know. I presented it to her in one of our sessions, and the words just spoke to her, and she was able to start talking about that time period of her life. I had no idea beforehand how powerful that song would be. But that certainly is part of the skill that we have as music therapists, that we are present with our clients and we sense and we hear what they're saying, both verbally and non-verbally. And so this song, listening to the lyrics, I thought would really speak to her, and they did. She certainly described music therapy as a very freeing experience. She really enjoyed songwriting. She felt that that helped her complete the relationship with her mother and her stepmother. She talked about the significance of the musical autobiography, which really helped her complete the relationship with herself, so to speak, because she kind of put closure to all of the time periods in her life and really went back to the time periods where she really was uneasy. So, for example, her younger teenage years. It was also clear to me that there was a lot of catharsis of emotions, and that she felt freedom. There was a sense of freedom that came with the musical improvising and the making of music. Certainly the improvisation helped her experience play and experience childhood. So I think that was also really powerful for her. I guess because, you know, I've worked in long-term care and for so long, and you know, many of the clients are really older adults, you know, like in their 90s, that to me, she was still quite so young, you know, at 72. So she really was very graceful in terms of accepting her death and being prepared to transition.
And this song, as well as several other songs, are on your CD, Relationship Completions.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have some information about for our listeners about how they can order that if they wish later in the program.
Essentially, that CD is a compilation of songs from the research study episodes of Relationship Completion. So it's songs from my work with four different clients, and some of the songs are original and some are pre-composed songs. Of course, we have the rights to re-record. And they were selected because they were significant to that client's music therapy process. So, for example, there was a song that was written by the client's Gloria for her husband, Jack, called Thank You for Loving Me.
Ah.
And just a beautiful, they were such wonderful clients to work with. You know, they loved each other so very much, and they didn't have children and they didn't have any family. And Gloria was only 63 when she passed away. And the two had retired from their careers about a year, I guess when they were 61, because they had wanted, this was their plan, that they wanted to travel and spend time together in their retirement. And then she became very ill, and obviously her palliative. And so we used the time in sessions really expressing the key sentiments of love and gratitude. And this song was just so beautiful. Their love for each other was just so phenomenal. And Gloria needed to thank her husband for all of the care he had provided. And, you know, he would sit by her bedside all day and even sleep there overnight in the chair. And she felt that just saying thank you to him wasn't enough. And so she wrote this song for him. And then we performed it for him. And he was so moved. You know, it just, yeah.
Wow, what a moving
phenomenal
story.
Phenomenal, you know, and to then record it and for him to have it as a legacy gift. And also important in her work is that we also kind of did a musical autobiography of various periods in their life together, and picked songs and wrote songs that represented different, it was more not necessarily an autobiography, but represented specific events in their lives. So represented their wedding, represented their anniversary, their 10th anniversary, etc.
So, and I can imagine this is not just helpful for the person who's dying, but for the family members that are still here to have that sense of completion.
It's so very important. We talk about grieving, and obviously when someone dies, we grieve. And some people think that just because you know someone is going to die, that perhaps the grieving process is easier after. But I don't think it is. I mean, there's a whole anticipatory grieving that a person who's accompanying that dying person goes through. And it doesn't necessarily ease the grieving process after. So these kinds of legacy gifts are things that they can treasure, listen to, you know, and it does bring a sense of peace. There was a client in particular I worked with several years ago. It was a mother who had written a song for her daughter. And I saw the daughter about 6 months after her mother passed, and at a memorial service that we have at the hospital. And she came up to me and told me that she still listens to the song and how important it was for her. So I think those gifts are, you know, they're legacies.
So the woman you were talking about who wrote the song for her husband, so she wrote the words to this, "Thank You for Loving Me"?
She did. All the words are hers. And certainly songwriting is, clients say, well, I can't write a song. I've never written a song. But essentially, you know, the therapist is there to help guide the process. So the clients are often able to write the lyrics freely. And sometimes the music therapist might help them in just reiterating back things that they've actually heard the person say, or maybe give them place to start from. So a lot of times I'm suggesting different melodies or harmonies and giving them several options so that the client really is the one that is choosing and creating the song.
So this song I'm pulling up a little bit of the beginning of this song, "Thank You for Loving Me," so we can hear these sentiments that you were talking about with the music in the background, which makes it so much more meaningful and emotional, I think, about thank you for being here and forgiveness. And wow, what a moving song.
they were just, but I just feel that my career is such a blessing. You know, it's such a privilege to work with clients, you know, at such a, you know, a challenging time in their lives, and for them to welcome you in to their life and to these very emotional sessions.
Yeah, and these are the kinds of things that are so difficult, I think, for many of us to say in everyday life, and that at the end of life, many, many people, and I imagine perhaps I will feel the same way, that there are many things that I wish I had said and wanted to say and didn't have the chance, and to put it in a song like this is so powerful, so beautiful.
It is. I think, you know, we know certainly that music makes us feel emotions, and really can change our mood quite rapidly. And so it's just that much more poignant and that much more powerful to have the words recorded and performed in a song than to even say them, I think.
So you've done a number of projects, Amy, and as we're getting close to the end of our time, I'm wondering if there's one more area that you'd like to share. I know you have a new CD coming out, and you also have a relaxation CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you also have given guidance to many other caregivers about dealing with the end of life and suggestions for using music. So is there anything that you would like to share in closing?
I guess maybe I'll talk a little bit about the relaxation CD. That's another one of my passions. I've studied guided imagery and music, and so this CD is kind of an inspiration of that, or an offshoot of it, I guess.
Well,
so
you
created it to treat, you know, a person's mind and body to four different relaxation journeys, and each of them is about 20 minutes. And they're original scripts that I wrote, and it's all original music. And it's specifically designed to help facilitate relaxation, helping reduce anxiety, reducing pain. And I was inspired to create this for my clients in palliative care, just realizing that I can't be there all the time, and that this could be a tool that they use on their own, or that family members use when they go to visit. But certainly the CD is really for anyone who has stress and just needs a little escape from stress. And so I've used it myself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I really feel that it's just a nice way to treat yourself, a little kind of an escape in your day. And certainly there are relaxation and imagery, you know, scripts and things and CDs on the market. And this one, you know, I guess I was inspired by my guided imagery training.
Right, which is with Helen Bonney. It's an extensive training, right? You have a certification of fellow of the Association of Music and Imagery.
Yeah, it's a lengthy process, and I'm now a fellow in the Association of Music and Imagery. Just loving that. That's a whole other a whole other radio show, but just loving that work where we're tapping into the unconscious and with the specifically designed music program. So that was kind of my inspiration, doing that work. And really, when I was doing my guided imagery, I was able to work with a whole different set of clients that I had never worked with. So a lot of younger women who had physical, verbal, sexual abuse, eating disorders. So really going into new areas for me, which was exciting, you know, to be branching out and doing different clinical work as well.
And I think one of the things that I noticed about this CD, and especially the track The Color of the Rainbow, which I listened to last night, was that you provide kind of some guidance about suggesting colors to imagine and different objects that may represent those colors, but then you leave it open for the listener or whoever's doing the relaxation for them to fill in their own images around that color and interact with them in any way. So maybe mm-hmm. let's just play a little bit of it here so we can get a sense.
You feel your body begin to relax. The tension in your muscles, beginning from the top of your head, shoulders, and upper torso, is slowly starting to dissipate, and you let go of any tightness and tension. As your body continues to calm down, this release of tightness and tension expands to your core and abdomen, and you feel lightness and looseness in these areas. You experience this relaxation expanding and spreading through your pelvis and upper legs. This relaxation brings with it lightness and looseness and extended comfort. As the relaxed feelings continue to work through and over your body,
I'm already feeling more relaxed.
That's good.
Just by listening to this. Yeah, this was great. And so thank you so much, Amy, for joining me. And how can listeners reach you or find out more information about your CDs, such as this one, Soothing Relaxation Journeys?
Mm-hmm. They can go to my website, which is www.notesbyamy.com. And certainly there's an email link there that you can get a hold of me, which is director@notesbyamy.com. And you can also listen to some of the sample tracks on the website. You can read about some of the research projects. There's some summaries there as well. And I'm more than happy, you know, to respond to emails that people send.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. It's really been a pleasure, and I'm glad that Canada could come and say hello to all you listeners.
I'm your host, Sangeeta Swami, and you've been listening to The Sound Effect, a weekly program unlocking the mysteries of music and sound and their effects on our lives. Tune in next Monday at 9 a.m. on WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carborough, 103.5 FM, or stream online at wcomfm.org. To submit questions or comments about the show, to be a guest on the program, or to listen to podcasts of past shows, visit thesoundeffect.wordpress.com. Here you can also find related links about each show, as well as the information about the music played on each program. Thanks for listening.
And I wish I had a horse of my own. A wild horse that would never stray. On wings we could fly home free. A wild horse that would always stay. A wild horse that would always stay by me. I'm glad my wish will come true. I know that dreams never die.